In the book of Lamentations of Jeremiah, we hear these words. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. By his mercies we have been kept from destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin every day afresh. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him and seek him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. Let's pray. The unfailing love of the Lord never ends. Words spoken in the midst of trial and tribulation and sorrow and pain by the prophet Jeremiah. Yet words that resound to us today, the unfailing love of the Lord never ends. Not just the love, but the unfailing love of the Lord never ends. We thank you, Lord, that we know this to be true. We thank you, Lord, that you have proved this to be true down through the generations. We thank you, Lord, that you demonstrated the truth of this in the coming and in the life and in the death and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can remember this even today. And we thank you as we project our minds forward in history that we know that Jesus Christ one day will return and that your love will demonstrate itself to such a degree that we will experience its never-ending nature. We thank you for your mercy, a mercy that saves us from judgment, a choice that you have made in eternity, despite the knowledge of our sin, to show mercy and kindness and generosity of love towards even those who would walk away from you. We thank you that your faithfulness is great. We thank you that we can depend on your faithfulness, that every single day that we awaken, that we can say to ourselves, great is God's faithfulness this day and every day. We thank you too, Lord, that we know that we have an inheritance in Christ as your sons and daughters, a promise that you have made to us that can never be broken, a promise written in the blood of Christ that we remember here today of eternal life. Therefore, as he says himself in that word of prophecy, we will hope in him. And so we say with the prophet Jeremiah that the Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for him and seek him. And so in that confidence this day, we gather here in this place and we wait upon you with confidence and hope through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading comes today from Mark chapter 13. And I'm not going to read from one of the conventional interpretations of the Bible, but rather from the Message version of it today. As he, that is Jesus, walked away from the temple, one of his disciples said, "Teacher, look at that stonework, those buildings." Jesus said, "You're impressed by this grandiose architecture. There's not a stone in the whole works that is not going to end up in a heap of rubble." Later, as he was sitting on Mount Olives in full view of the temple, Peter,
James, John, and Andrew got him off by himself and asked, "Tell us when this is going to happen. What sign will we get that things are coming to a head?" Jesus began, "Watch out for doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities claiming, 'I'm the one.' They will deceive a lot of people. When you hear of wars and rumored wars, keep your head and don't panic. This is routine history and no sign of the end. Nation will fight against nation and ruler fight ruler over and over. Earthquakes will occur in various places. There will be famines. But these things are nothing compared to what's coming. And watch out. They're going to drag you into court. And then it will go from bad to worse. Dog eat dog. Everyone at your throat because you carry my name. You're placed there as sentinels to truth. The message has to be preached across the world. And when they bring you betrayed into court, don't worry about what you'll say. When the time comes, say what's on your heart. The Holy Spirit will make his witness in and through you. It's going to be brother killing brother, father killing child, children killing parents. There's no telling who will hate you because of me. But stay with it. That's what's required. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry. You'll be saved. But the exact day and hour, no one knows that. Not even heaven's angels, not even the Son, only the Father. So keep a sharp lookout, for you don't know the timetable. It's like a man who takes a trip leaving home and putting his servants in charge, each assigned a task, and commanding the gatekeeper to stand watch. So stay at your post watching. You have no idea when the homeowner is returning, whether evening, midnight, cockcrow, or morning. You don't want him showing up unannounced with you asleep on the job. I say to you, and I'm saying it to all, stay at your post. Keep watch."
There are two ways of speaking about the passage we just read. And remember that the passage we just read came from the lips of Jesus Christ. Christ will return. And when Christ returns to this earth, it will be as the King of Kings. He will return in irresistible and awesome power. He will return to bring an end, to the world as it is. He will come to destroy and to judge. And it will be a day when the nations of this world will call for the mountains to fall upon them so that they might hide themselves from the great and awesome and terrible day of the return of the Son of God. For there will be no comfort on that day for those who have turned away from God and turned away from Christ. It will be a day of imminence, a day of judgment, a day when no one can stand before God, when no one can resist him, when no one will find comfort anywhere. It will be a drastic, awful day. And woe betides those who live for the return of Christ. And he will return. For he has promised he will return, and every promise that has been made in the scripture has come true. The Lamb of God will return to judge the world, to end the world. When we think of it like that, then that surely means an awesome day. That surely cannot mean that it will be a comfortable day. But it's an inevitable day.
And my friends, it could happen at any moment. For it says that only the Father knows that day and that time, and indeed that he will come like a thief in the night when we least expect it. And all things will be brought to their great conclusion. It will happen. It must happen. It has been designated by God as something necessary and essential and inevitable. But surely, for those of us who have committed ourselves to the kingdom of God and to the king of that kingdom, that is not a day to be feared, but indeed to be welcomed. Because that is not the end, but the beginning of something quite wonderful and unique. Remember that we took communion here, and that the final part of that communion was a remembering that we are doing this until Christ returns. Now, there are several things. First of all, we know that those who have died in faith have gone to Christ, and they are in a good place, and in a place of rest, and in a perfect place, and a place of peace. But when you look at our world and you examine our world, there is a feature that comes to absolute conclusion, an absolute conclusion as far as we're concerned, and that is this: things are never going to get better as long as the destiny and the direction of this world is in the hands of sinful human beings. We're coming to another general election. I can't remember how many general elections that I've sat up and watched, but every single time there's a general election, I can't help it. I'll sit up and I'll watch till I know who is going to be in government, and that's normally about 5 o'clock in the morning. I find it compelling. But what I also find compelling about the whole process is that no matter what promises are made, there isn't a human being or a politician living who can change the heart and destiny of another human being. Only God can do that. And as long as modern politics dislocates itself from God and his kingdom and his ways and his hope, there is no hope for the world. And indeed, Jesus indicated in the passage that we read there that ultimately the world cannot and will not change. And indeed, rather than things as it comes near to the end getting better, they will get worse. And that will only hasten the day. Because you see, what Christ is promising in those words that he spoke is this: that he will come and that he will bring an end to the madness, an end to the insanity of our world, an end to the destructiveness of so much that's in our world, an end to the injustice, an end to poverty, an end to sickness, an end to death, an end to violence, an end to everything that is wrong, everything that causes a tear, everything that causes anxiety, everything that causes grief. It will all end. It must end. It must end. Otherwise, what hope is there for the world? And you cannot place the hope of the world in human hands, in David Cameron or Miliband or anyone else. For none of these people are fit to carry the torch that can change this world. Only one person can do that, and that is Jesus Christ. Only one person, and that is Jesus Christ. And he says, I will come again, and I will bring an end. And for those who have forsaken him, who do not know him, who do not care about him, who do not love him, who do not acknowledge him, it will not be a comfortable end. But for those who are his people, it will be the beginning of a glorious new day. Now, I don't know exactly what's going to happen to the universe and the earth. It talks in Revelation of a new universe and a new earth. It talks of something quite fundamentally different. It talks of a place where everything is fundamentally different. But it talks of a place where we are no longer in charge, where we are no longer in control, where Jesus Christ alone is in control and guiding the eternal destiny of all things. Now, it may just be, I was saying to Linda the other day, is it just me getting old? Or is it that as you get wiser, you realize there is no human solution, only a divine solution to this world of ours? And we long for and we welcome that day. And we ask God to hasten the moment when he will bring that day. And when all of God's people from all ages will gather together on that day, on that new beginning, on that glorious new beginning. And where that thunderous noise of the innumerable host will stand around the throne of God and sing afresh his praises. And when we will gather for a new beginning, and at that new beginning there will be a supper. And it won't be bread and it won't be wine, but it will be the supper of the marriage feast of the Lamb of God to his church, to his people, to his body, as a new world begins, where history is a new dawn, where we are forever under the dominion and the hands of the wisest and the greatest and the most perfect and the most good and the most kind and the most merciful and the most loving that there is. And all things are directed by him, and we are changed by him, and the world is as it ought to be. What a glorious day. What a day it will be. Not a day to fear, but a day to embrace and to welcome the return of Christ.